Salam to everyone. Welcome to the Spiritual Practices Lecture for the 2014 Feast of Tabernacles. First, why don't we all close our eyes and thank God for all his truth and knowledge that has come through Maitreya, the seventh angel, and praise be to him. Salam. So this lecture is going to be quite a bit different because it's a collective effort by eight sisters following the Eternal Divine Path. And we're going to try to give you an introduction to the spiritual practices that we follow in the mission with a PowerPoint presentation that has links that you can click on for more information. So we'll start with the first slide. It says Spiritual Practices of the Mission of Maitreya, Feast of Tabernacles 2014. Let's go to slide 2. Just click on it and it'll be in the right side now. Why do we follow spiritual practices? There are many different reasons. We follow spiritual practices because the human has a thirst for limitlessness and the finite world only gives temporary pleasures. We follow spiritual practices because spiritual practices help to awaken the spiritual forces, and awakening the spiritual forces is the first seal in the eternal divine path. Also, they allow us to understand the different practices and cultures that are followed by people around the world. They help us to have a tolerance for people who follow faiths different than what we were brought up in. We follow spiritual practices because they develop discipline so that the lower nature tendencies can be controlled and the higher self can emerge. The desires of the flesh are infinite, we all know that, and like strong horses have to be tamed. Spiritual practices bring our attention back to God's Spirit so that eventually the Spirit can manifest in its fullest. Also, they promote a healthy lifestyle, helping us to be strong physically, mentally, and spiritually, and so able to serve God and the mission more effectively. Besides, we become examples for those around us. And finally, we follow spiritual practices because they can create a unity in the communities of light and the entire world when followed in a holy, collective manner. Where are these spiritual practices found? They are found in every religion and discipline in the world, especially in those in the first seal, Buddhism, Hinduism, mystical paths in Christianity, Sufis, etc. So let's go to the next slide. Click on number 3. Before we start, let's review the prerequisites of spiritual life. I'm just going to read the topics because of time constraints, but they are given in Essays 1 in Tho. The prerequisites of spiritual life can be categorized into 3 main categories: physical health, mental equilibrium, and spiritual cleanliness. Under physical health, we're talking about the 7 main necessities for a strong physical body: fresh air, where there's lots of prana, sunshine, good food, following the recommendation that the mission gives for folks, fresh, organic, local, kosher, seasonal food, pure water, good rest, especially when done in fresh air, exercise and innercise, and concentration in the use of the power of the mind. So those were the 7 prerequisites for physical health. For mental equilibrium, it means to acquire a simple life, to prevent the disturbance of the mind, but not so simple that the person becomes a burden on society. And for spiritual cleanliness, a person has to strive to be spiritually clean. As the body becomes dirty in a few days, the mental aspects of the human also become soiled. Actually, the mind becomes soiled much faster than the body. And even faster than the mind is the spirit that becomes unclean through the mind. So we can see how important these things are: the environment we live in, the materials we read, the shows we see, or the people we have as our companions. They all affect our mental and spiritual cleanliness. A spiritual person not only tries to avoid crudifying environments, but eventually he also should be able to stay in the equilibrium of his mind, even in the middle of the worst environment. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 4. So today, these are the Mission of Maitreya spiritual practices that we are going to cover: meditation, bath, The reminder, Sabbath, spiritual chanting and dancing, kirtan, songs, fasting, prayer, study of spiritual scriptures, yoga postures, asanas, rosary, service, satsang, langoda for men, tantava for men and tantavi for women, holy days and feasts of the Lord, and tithes. We are really blessed to have so many different spiritual practices in the mission, and we will try to give an introduction to each of them. We hope you will enjoy this journey. There'll be a lot of information given. We would ask that you hold your questions. You could always post them in the Facebook room, learn more about the mission of Maitreya. The first spiritual practice to be discussed will be on the meditation practices in the mission of Maitreya, and Tahira will be the speaker.
Salam, everyone. I hope the sound is coming over good still. Thanks God for good sound. And my part of the lecture is on meditation. You can look at slide one. And one of the most important of meditation is that it calms the mind and cleanses the soul. The purpose of meditation is to know self. Know self is to know God. And the word meditation means the process of directing our attention from going outward to going inward, becoming one with God. In Sanskrit, the word for meditation is sadhana, which means struggle. So we struggle to know the self, the relationship of the self with the universe, and overcoming those forces which are in our way toward the goal, to become divine. And there are many forces of the crudifying power of the tamaguna over the soul, which is ignorance. And when the soul is under the influence of the tamaguna, the mind becomes crude and will be attracted toward the desires and impulses of the lower nature. This source which binds the soul towards becoming self-centered, narrow-minded, lost, and having a feeling of separation from the universe is, in other words, the devil. So we focus on the mantra in our meditation. We shut out those worldly senses and become inwardly still. It is in this stillness that we can calm our minds and cleanse our souls. So each breath has two points of oneness, that silence of breathing in and that silence of breathing out. In that silence is the most important part of your meditation. Can be found in most religions of the world. Meditation is found in the first seal of the greatest sign, awakening your spiritual forces. And other religions of the world, such as Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, Old Testament, New Testament, Sufis, Native Americans, etc. They all practice some form of meditation to awaken their spiritual forces. So remember, each breath has two points of oneness, that silence breathing in and that silence breathing out. There are different types of meditation in the mission of Maitreya. There is formal, individual meditation. You can go to slide two. Collective meditation, transmission meditation, and informal meditation. In the formal individual meditation, it is recommended to meditate twice daily, a.m. and p.m., around 6:30 in the morning and around 9 o'clock p.m. before bed. In our individual meditation, which is recommended twice a day, after thorough reading or before thorough reading, and then contemplate on what was read after at 6:30 in the morning and around 9 o'clock before bedtime. Let's go to slide 3, collective meditation. Collective meditation is to strengthen the community and accelerate the progress of the members in the community. It is one of the best practices in the community. It always should be done with three or more people in the same room, and is usually associated with the full order of service. Collective meditation is one of the best practices in the community. It always should be done with three or more people in the same room and it has been associated with the full order of service again. And slide number four, we go to transmission meditation. Transmission meditation, however, is an individual endeavor to bring good, God, thoughts, and peace to man. Although collective meditation will also help in this process, transmission meditation brings a greater awareness that we are responsible for the well-being of all unit consciousnesses in the universe. We are not an isolated island in the universe. So transmission meditation is done Sabbath mornings and evenings. Then the order of service is followed. Then each person goes to an individual area and meditates by himself or herself, transmitting love and good thoughts to the universe. And after 30 minutes of transmission meditation in the evening, the community comes together as a group for a community meeting. Attunement and transmission groups can tune in Saturdays at 6 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. In the powerful spiritual uplifting, please tune in at either time, whichever is most convenient for you, or tune in at both times. When attunement is done collectively and is directed to a center, a more focused and much greater effect is created. With this, a central focus will be created, and the energy can be used for a greater uplifting of consciousness. Concentration and opening your thought vibrations to Rio Rancho, the northwest suburb of Albuquerque, New Mexico, is therefore encouraged. Maitreya also transmits many messages and realizations at these times, 6 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Saturdays. After Maitreya leaves his body, meditate on the people in charge of the mission to strengthen them to do the mission well and manifest the will of God purely. Slide 5. Informal individual meditation can be done anywhere, anytime. It can be done anytime a person feels he or she wants to meditate. Slide 6. What do we meditate on? We meditate on the universal mantra that's been given to us by Maitreya Ji. That mantra, Hari Om Shri Hung Om Nam Kevalam. The goal of the life is to become divine. And for beginners meditating, the introductory mantra, So Hung or Hung So, which is the first introductory mantra that Maitreya has given to the beginning meditators. And we meditate on the word, which requires utmost commitment. Maitreya reveals the true vibration of the sacred name of the Lord, Father, and His Son, which has four parts. Each part will be revealed to you in four levels in the initiation process. However, initiation itself has seven levels. They are meditation on the Hari mantra for a while, introduction and or preparation to be initiated, accepting Maitreya as your only spiritual teacher, covenant with Maitreya, paying your tithes, meditation on So Hung or Hung So, etc. The four initiations of the four parts of the word, and with the final merging with God, there are seven levels in the mission meditation process. These names of the Father and the Son, cannot be pronounced or written in the material world. When their vibration, sound, merge into one, the Son and the Father become one, it is called the Word. But speak the Word only, and thy servant shall be healed. Matthew 8, verse 8. So there are seven levels of initiation, which briefly are the Hari meditation, introduction, the four levels of the word, the first part, love, the second part, powers, the third part, knowledge, and the fourth part, light, and the final stage of complete oneness with God. This meditation of the Word requires utmost commitment. You can use this state of oneness for deep thinking and realizing the answers to the questions you might have about our teachings, etc. Since all of the complete information given to us on the Word is quite long, I will suggest that you go to the website and read the complete instructions. See the Word, the Holy Name, on the mission website. The goal, pure consciousness. And slide 7, meditation. Other points. We do not look for experiences or try to compare our meditation with another's meditation experience. 2, we continue to try, even if we are having a difficult time. It is all good. We may even just gaze at the greatest sign when we are having difficulty meditating. That in and of itself is also a great meditation, when we gaze at the greatest sign. 3, we may not always have a calm, focused meditation, but that is okay. We can even just begin to laugh during that time and enjoy a laughing meditation. And 4, there is so much knowledge out today that shows and proves how meditation has become an accepted therapy for not only relaxation, but for ill people who are taught to meditate and begin to lower blood pressure, etc., and becoming self-medicated by meditating. And 5, it has been recommended by the mission to take a half bath prior to meditation. And last, 6, it is recommended not to meditate on a full stomach. Remember, meditation can also be done at any time with eyes opened, as in doing dishes or chores, etc. So meditation can and should be our focus on having an inner calm and peace within, no matter what is going on around us. The goal of the life is to become divine. That divinity, God, is everything. Meditate to know self. Meditate to know God. And thanks God for the information from Maitreya G and the mission. And now the next part of our lecture will be from Sarah G on the bath.
So when you go to take a bath, you can be in a rush and just turn on the water and you're thinking about your busy day and all the things you have to do and all the things that you've done and what he said and what she said, or you can make it a spiritual experience, a beautiful purification of mind, body, and spirit. Water is a purifier. Water is necessary for life on this earth, and water is a universal solvent. Water as a purifier is found in many different religions. One can find many practices in different religions using water for spiritual rituals. For example, in Genesis in the Old Testament, there is the verse, "And water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him." That's Genesis 24:32. Also, there is the practice of washing before prayer in Islam, or Hindus immersing themselves in the Ganges River, etc. But water also can be used for cooling the body, because too much heat in the body creates lethargy and is responsible for many diseases, and therefore it's recommended to keep the body as cool as possible. The best way to do this is by washing with cool water the entire body or those places which create heat. So what are some of the ways recommended by the mission of Maitreya to take a bath? First, there is the full bath. A full bath is recommended to be taken every 2 days or so. It's best to take the bath squatting or sitting, if possible, and with warm or cool water. It's recommended to avoid very hot water. While preparing for the bath, we ideate on the bath ideation before and during bathing. And you can find the bath ideation before and during bathing and after bathing in essays 3 in the book Thoh. This is the bath ideation before bathing. So you're getting your bath ready, you're getting your shampoo and your shower, you're turning on the water and you're closing the shower curtain and you have the soap and you're ideating either inwardly or saying it out loud. I wash myself with water, which is a symbol of purity. Not only do I wash my body with this water, but also I will ideate that this is an act of baptism, and I will be free of my previous bad habits. This water also will wash away my fears, unnecessary desires, and attachments. I will only be attached to God. Only then will I be free, pure, and clean enough to stand in front of the Father, the ancestors of humanity, and the sages in the past, and pay my salutations to them. So all during your bath, you can ideate on this or repeat it and say it over and over again. And then after the bath, it's recommended that the bath ideation after bathing be done with proper gestures, mudras, in front of the sun or a white light, while the body is still wet and dripping. And the water on the body will absorb the light, and because each drop is like a convex lens, it will concentrate the energy of light to the body. And this is the bath ideation after bathing, and it has some mudras, or mostly arm and hand movements. And here we go. It's repeated 3 times. My reverend salutations to the ancestors of humanity. My reverend salutations to all the sages and messengers. They were all in the path of becoming pure consciousness. I am one with them in spirit. Therefore, it is a goal of my life to become pure consciousness and help the whole universe to become the same. So those words are repeated 3 times, and then the 3rd time, once, you say the act of offering, the heat which was used to offer, and the one who offers are all he, Salom. And with the bath ideation, every time you take a bath, you baptize yourself. You promise that you're going to be pure, and you're baptized. And that's an act of baptism. And every time you baptize yourself, you have a new start. So you can have a new start every day. So that we just covered was the full bath, and now we're going to talk about the half bath. The half bath cools the centers which create heat, the nervous system, and consequently the spinal cord, and the energy centers, the chakras. It releases the body from the burden of doing this itself, and therefore the energy prana of the body can be used for other functions in the body, and with this, a healthier body will be gained. This is how the half bath goes. Cool water should be poured over the genital area first, and this will cool off the 2nd and 1st chakras, the energy centers, and also the lower part of the spinal cord. And then the knees to the toes are cooled with water, at least the feet. This cools off the endings of many nerves in the feet and also the nerve which come from the spinal cord to the legs and that part of the spinal cord from which these nerves arise. Then water is poured over the elbows, down to cool the lower part of the arm, the elbows and the hands, and this will cool off the nerve endings in the hands and the upper part of the spinal cord. Next, cool water is taken into the mouth. And while the water is kept in the mouth, water is splashed into the eyes, and the eyes should stay open while the water is being splashed into them. It is recommended to breathe in deeply through the nose before splashing the water to the face, and then exhale after each splash, and inhale again and splash the water. This will develop the habit of inhaling through the nostrils and deep breathing, and also helps to absorb more prana from the water splashed into the face and eyes. 7 to 15 times of splashing is recommended to cool off the eyes and the face. However, this number can be increased or decreased according to a person's desire or situation. Then water should be sucked in through the nostrils until it passes through the nose and comes out the mouth. And this will help the whole nervous system in the face, the sinuses, the glands, and the brain to be cooled, therefore preventing many diseases and the common cold. And then the neck, the back of the head, behind the ears, and if desired, the hair can be cooled off with the water. When this half bath is completed, a feeling of freshness will prevail. And the half bath is especially a blessing in hot climates and or in the summer. However, can be taken even in the winter and causes the body to become accustomed to cool water and therefore stay cool. So far we have covered the full bath, and we just covered the half bath, and now we'll talk about the one-fourth bath. One-fourth of the bath is the same as the half bath, but only the hands and face part is done, and it's recommended when a quick cooling of the body is necessary or the situation does not allow a full bath or a half bath. And so the hands are washed with cool water, water's kept in the mouth, water splashed in the eyes and face, and the neck and behind the ears are cooled off. Very refreshing, very nice, and very easy to do in kind of any situation at all. So we covered the full bath, the half bath, we just talked about one-fourth bath, and now we'll talk about the cool bath. It's recommended to take a cool bath upon arising in the morning. The best way to take a cool full bath is to take a half bath, and then after finishing it, also cool the navel area and the opposite side of the navel at the back, and then massage the surface of the body with wet hands, and while sitting on the heels, pour water from the crown of the head to run over the back of the spine down the body. And then one can pour cool water all over the body and wherever much heat is felt. It's a great disciplinary act and accustoms the body to withstand cold water. It makes the body refreshed, healthy, and ready for meditation and the day. So we talked about the full bath, we talked about the half bath, we talked about one-fourth bath, we talked about the cool bath. There are two more things that we can cover. One is the cooling of the genital area, and this is done by pouring cool water over the genital area after urination. It keeps us organs cool, prevents many diseases, and lowers the unwanted sexual stimulation. And this act should become so habitual that the person does it without a second thought. And lastly, it's not on the slide, but we should mention that hand washing scrubbing should be done many times during the day to prevent the spread of diseases. So that's a quick look at the Mishna Maitreya recommendations for bathing, and again, they are all available in Tho in Essays 3. And next sadhana, we'll talk about the reminder.
Thank you, Sarah G. That was a beautiful presentation of the disciplinary act of bathing. It really reminded me of Karate Kid, the movie. So thanks God for that. And next we'll go over to the reminder. The reminder is repeated three times in the morning at 5:50 a.m. and three times at 5:50 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and once before going to bed, or 9 p.m. So we repeated the whole reminder three times, and the reminder should be done once at 5:50 a.m. and then once at 5:50 p.m. and once before going to bed, or 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So the beauty of it is that the number of times we do the reminder during the day is 7 in total. Doing the reminder three times in the a.m., three times in the p.m., and only once in the evening. That makes it 7 times. The reminder is similar to prayer in Islam, called namaz. It is done accompanied with postures. The postures have an effect, like yoga asanas, and can be done slowly or quickly. While doing the reminder individually, you can enhance the effect of the yoga part by further stretching. A recent modification of the reminder includes bending of toes inwards in the beginning and fists drawn together to touch the forehead or third eye instead of the floor. It is recommended to do half bath before the reminder. It should be done with awareness and not as a ritual. If circumstances do not allow you to perform it with the postures, just repeat the words silently. If you missed the time as recommended, perform it later with one extra time. We can also read more about why we do the reminder three times at maitreya.org files discourses, 3 times a day. So the first time we do it, we come to it with excitement. Oh, let's do the reminder. The spirit of worldliness is still with us. When first we do it's just the words. We are still in mundanity. We're not really hearing what we're saying. We're just saying it, and the mind starts wandering here and there. The second time we say it, it goes deeper. And the third time, it completely surrounds the person, and the person starts hearing himself or herself, and if he's sincere, he will see the real meaning of the reminder and its effect. Actually, the more you say it, the better. The reminder is very powerful and very effective. It has a lot of effect on the body. You stretch muscles that you never use. Usually it's a kind of yoga in itself. It's a kind of I Ching at the same time, because you are concentrating on higher thoughts, in higher energy. It makes you very healthy. It pushes the mucus out of your body. When you bend your head, the mucus comes out of your body. It helps to get rid of some of the toxins in your body. Mucus is a toxin. Mucus is not something that comes from nowhere. It is a toxin. With the bath ideation, every time you take a bath, you baptize yourself. You promise you're going to be pure and you're baptized. That's an act of baptism. And every time you baptize yourself, you have a new start, don't you? You have a new start every day and on. There's so much that it's hard to go over all of them. If you don't use these tools, you won't see the effect. You have to do them and do them constantly, every day, for a long period of time, to see the effect. Just like an athlete who doesn't exercise for a couple of days or a couple of weeks is out of shape, this is the same thing. If you don't do these exercises for a long time, you will be out of shape. You will no longer feel like doing them anymore. Also, it is a discipline. It disciplines you to do these in a specific time period. You create a stronger mind and a stronger will because you have to do it and you want to do it. There are a lot of wonderful reasons behind using these tools. It's not just a silly Hari Om Shri Hung. It's very hard for intellectuals to do the Hari Om Shri Hung because it sounds silly to them. They're so tight. They're so intellectual. I should dance like that? Am I crazy or something? What are these silly things this guy is telling us to do? But if they do it, they will love it. If they do it for a while, they will love it, especially when more people are doing it. As I said, just imagine 500 or 600 people singing Hari Om Shri Hung together. You would go to Samadhi. It's a powerful thing. So that is the way we prepare ourselves for the next feast. When the next feast comes, then we're going to sing Hari Om Shri Hung very well. Oh, we're already doing it. The most useful and detailed explanation of the reminder, the meaning of the seven parts of the reminder, we find in Essays 3, Tablet 8. The reminder is an invocation and can be done individually or collectively. The reminder has many spiritual effects on the spiritual body, as well as many other benefits, including effects similar to yoga on the physical body. It would be now good to say the reminder together, everyone. If you're next to your computers, you can do it just sitting down, and I will read this, the reminder from point 1 to 7. We pay our salutations to the Divine Father, the Divine Logic, who has helped all come from ignorance to the path of enlightenment. Ignorance is the state of unawareness of the reality behind this universe, and enlightenment is the state of pure consciousness. We open our hearts to your grace, the Divine Mother, the Holy Ghost, and pray for your guidance in overcoming the power of the tamaguna, crudifying force, principalities, over our souls, and detaching ourselves from Maya, illusion of separation from God. We adore and promise to endeavor to help the whole universe to reach higher consciousness and eventually pure consciousness. In reverence, we bow our heads in front of all those great souls in the past and those to come, who have helped and will help all to understand your compassion and mercy in your actions and creation. We surrender ourselves to you, the words revealed to us through your prophets and your greatest sign, which clarifies the confusion between all. We submit only to you, which is formless, nameless, and invisible, neither male nor female. You in this state unify. In any other state, humanity will be divided. Also, this will prevent us from surrendering to false prophets and teachers. However, in reverence, we bow our heads in front of all those great souls who will teach us how to know you and show us the way to become pure consciousness, as is the goal. And now our dear Anandama will talk a little bit more about Sabbath. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom, everyone. Sabbath. Sabbath starts at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Friday and continues 24 hours until 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, Saturday. Maitreya said that eventually the Sabbath services will be done in each of your time zones, but for now, the services start on Pal Talk on Saturday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Maitreya has spoken about the Sabbath in many satsangs and has written about it in Tho, pointing out its benefits, as you will see as we go through these points. Sabbath is a necessary spiritual practice. Let's start in the glossary, where Maitreya writes, Sabbath, day of rest and attunement to God. The very base of God realization and spiritual progress is to be able to calm the mind, contemplate, and attune the self to the truth of the universe. That is why God has emphasized the Sabbath as being one of the most important commandments. That is because if a man cannot rest and calm his mind, he would never realize anything. So it's very important that at least one day of the week be for rest, fasting, and kept holy by calming the mind and contemplating creation, God, and the truth behind them. Sabbath is given in God's scriptures to follow. In the Old Testament, God commands, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the New Testament, we find that Esau followed God's commandments, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and we find that in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. We also find much written by Maitreya in Tho, the holiest of the holies, about keeping God's commandments, and that the Sabbath, as written in the glossary and given for the first slide, God has emphasized the Sabbath as being one of the most important commandments. Sabbath is a day of rest, fasting, quietness, contemplation, satsang, meditation, etc. In Tho, in the essays, in the base of history and dating, we find Saturday Sabbath should be used to fast. Also on Saturdays, the silence should be observed and solitude is recommended. After a day of rest, meditation, and deeper thought, it's a good idea to have the community meeting to resolve community problems. Transmission meditation is done on the Sabbath, then community meeting. Maitreya explains how to perform transmission meditation. In transmission meditation, reach out to humanity and the universe. Again, go to the calm place within, without going through the process. And then imagine the love and light of God touches everyone. See what the problems on earth or the universe are. Seek solutions to them and see how the mission will solve all of them, etc. Pray for humanity, universe, and visualize peace will come after the mission is established, etc. Then visualize how you can join the communities of light and help this process. Sabbath is also a day to think about your week. Sabbath and Sabbath Community Unity Meeting reveals we eventually have to reach a point where we feel as God felt about His work. We look and see that it has been blessed by God. When God created the universe and saw that it was good, God, He blessed it and was pleased. He did not look for approval or disapproval from anyone. He did not need to be praised by anyone. But He was pleased with Himself that He had done a perfect job. That also should be our approach to life. We do the job, His will, but leave the results to Him. On the Sabbath, we reevaluate our work and improve it to a higher level, as God also is perfect. And the final point on that page, Sabbath creates a joyful rhythm for the week. It is with following God's way that we can create that joyful rhythm for the week. In feasts and holy days of the Lord, festivals and holy days also should be for Him, so that man's thoughts might be directed toward its goal, which is to dissolve the self into the universal self and realize He is a part of the all. Kyosha will talk about spiritual chanting and dancing, kirtan. Shalom, everyone.
We're going to talk about spiritual chanting and dancing, as was introduced. That is called kirtan. And kirtan can best be described as combining the use of music and chanting and dancing. How does it help us? It helps to calm the mind and to loosen the dry intellect. So it brings the mind to the present, to the now, and that's the secret of controlling the mind. We read in the Bible, "Be still and know that I am God." So it helps the mind to be still and to know the Lord. People often might shy away from doing kirtan because with this practice, the ego dies fast, and many don't want that to happen to themselves. And it can actually be frightening for some people to let go to going to that point of the level of devotion that gets you to. So even if it doesn't appeal to you, however, it's recommended to try this practice enough to get somewhat familiar with it. Why? Because it's one of the spiritual practices of the mission. Kirtan also brings a unified rhythm to the group. It helps people who are coming together from different states of consciousness, different places, and bringing their different experiences with them. So these people then are chanting and playing an instrument and dancing, which brings together these three aspects of human life, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. So as they're engaging these aspects, they become in tune, and a balance is being achieved between them. Eventually, all the people become one in spirit instead of separated in the flesh. And also the kirtan helps us to understand others who practice this technique or this practice.
One of the things about doing the practices recommended by the mission, as was already mentioned in the introduction, is that it helps us to understand rituals that are used in other religions or cultures, so they won't look so strange to you. Doing the kirtan helps us to understand others who practice it, such as the dervishes in the Islamic teachings, the chanting and the dancing that is done by the Buddhists and the Hindus in their traditions. And we even find it in the Old Testament and in Christianity. In Samuel 10:5, we read that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from a high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Next, it helps us ideate that the whole universe is rejoicing with you. Think about it. This whole universe is nothing but vibration. So when you are dancing and chanting in the ideation of Om Nam Kevalam, you affirm that divinity, God, is everything, even the whole universe. Kirtan awakens devotional feelings in man, so that's why those who engage in this spiritual practice receive a blissful feeling from it. They rise from a rational plane to a devotional one, where the feeling can be described as indescribable. So we feel devotion to God, who is everywhere and everything. Again, the whole universe. So what separation could possibly exist in that ideation? The dancing of the kirtan is simple but rhythmical, and it can be done with instruments, drums, bells, etc. Because the technique is simple, it makes it very easy to lose yourself or give yourself over to God in the process of your senses being totally engaged. That's when you get to the real Hari Om Shri Hung. When you really get to that rhythm, you will never be tired. Actually, you want to go on and on. You can't stop it. You could just go on and on. I'm sure you all are experiencing that completely at the feast. And wait till the holy convocation. And then, after you finish singing, you will see that it is still going on within you. The vibration starts expanding to the room, to the house, and in everything that we look at, that rhythm is there. So when you sing, dance, and play an instrument, it brings a greater degree of rhythm between your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies. You become more graceful, more in tune with all the levels. Your physical body doesn't take you this way, and your mind takes you that way, and your spirit is just gone. You just bring them all together. You become healthier, because by bringing these in harmony with one another, you bring greater health to yourself also. So happy chanting and dancing, everyone. Enjoy.
I will be talking a little bit about, this will be a short one, about songs. There is a beautiful song that we do here in the mission as a part of our service, collective service and the order of service. And it's called Samgad Chadvam. Samgad Chadvam is a song we use during the order of service before collective or transmission meditation. It is from the Rig Veda and sung three times. Devotional songs and poems, they bring you closer to God. Lower natured songs and poems take you away. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to sing to you verse by verse and also read the translation of what each verse means. So Samgad Chadvam. Samgad Chadvam Samvadadvam, which means let us move together, let us sing together. Samvumanamsi Janatam. Let us come to know our minds together. Deva Bhagam Yata Purve. Let us share like sages of the past. Samjananam Upasati. That all people together may enjoy the universe. Samani Vayakuti. Unite our intention. Samanardayanilaya. Let our hearts be inseparable. Samanamastu vomano. Our mind is as one mind. Yatavam susasati. As we, to truly know one another, become one. So we'll go over to fasting, and Kyosha will present us material about fasting.
Fasting is considered refraining from food for a period of time. In Essays 3, in the Holiest of the Holies, we read, "A complete fast is one without food or liquid." However, those who do long fasting and or are not used to fasting, they can fast with water and or juice. So fasting is another way of healing oneself. According to our teaching, you can fast 8 days a month, the four Sabbaths, the full moon, the first moon, 11 days after the full moon, and 11 days after the first moon. And this is especially good for single people. So you can fast so much and it won't bother you. We do fasting during the Sabbath and the holy convocations. Of course, it's not limited. I don't want you to think it's limited to that, obviously, from what I just read. From a satsang with Maitreya, we hear, when you fast on Sabbath or the holy convocation, you stop your system. And your system has time to get on with those parts of your body that it never had time to heal, and it starts cleansing them. But if you keep eating and eating and eating, the body doesn't have time to burn out the fats that you eat. So it says, I'll put this fat here, and I'll put this fat over here, and I'll burn them out later on. So we start getting body fat because the body just doesn't have time to burn them. So the Sabbath fast is a very good healing process. Actually, you can fast 10 days of the 30 days of each month without jeopardizing your health. You can actually fast one-third of your life if you want to. So if you live for 90 years, you can fast for 30 years. Of course, Maitreya said, not continually, and there was laughter. Fasting quiets the mind, calms the senses, and allows the spirit to be felt more strongly. Fasting has many benefits physically, mentally, and spiritually. It cleans the body of toxins, stills the mind. Again, that wonderful phrase, "Be still and know that I am God," from Psalms 46:10. So this purifies the soul so that you become closer to God. And that all was from Golden Keys 4 on the website. So in other words, by fasting, you get rid of toxins, which is physical purification. You get rid of the energies that pull you toward the external world, which is mental and spiritual purification. With the fast, you really calm down your senses because your senses are not as powerful or as effective as when you eat all the time. The food you eat has energy that awakens different parts of your tendencies. With fasting and purifying your food, you purify your physical body and more. So when you fast, it's also a great time to pray and meditate, or for that matter, to do any of the spiritual practices of the mission. Another thing to know about fasting is that it should be broken slowly. In fact, the longer the fast, the more important this is. Maitreya has suggested that starting with a piece of fruit or juice is a good idea, and then you can increase that slowly over time and use folks, which is fresh, organic, local, kosher, seasonal food. Maitreya told a story in one of his satsangs about a man that his life was lived almost constantly in a fast. It was in the village in Iran where Maitreya's family would go in the summer, I believe. And he got an inheritance when one of his uncles died, I believe it was, and he went out and bought a lamb. And they cooked the lamb, and he ate almost the whole lamb by himself. And the next day, he died. So, as blunt as that sounds, it really illustrates the point that, you know, if you're fasting and or if you're even not eating a lot, be very aware of what you're putting in your body. Fasting can also be a very helpful spiritual practice if you're feeling uninspired or if you're making a difficult decision in your life. We find reference to fasting in the scriptures illustrating this point, such as Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. When the people of Nineveh realized that God was unhappy with them, they fasted and wore sackcloth and ashes. And those who are taken over by some spirits, it talks about you can only get rid of such entities by great prayer and fasting. And as Tho says, you do all of these for your own benefit, to progress to pure consciousness. You do not do them for the Lord. God does not need your fasting, almsgiving, etc. And the last point on fasting is that it can be started at puberty, and no fasting for pregnant and nursing women. And after age 60, it's optional. I might add that Maitreya did say before the age of puberty, the individual can try light fasting, like a few days in a year, if they would like to. And so, as it is with all the spiritual practices, in fasting we should consider the time, place, and person, or people, and that it be done from knowledge for spiritual progress, not from ignorance or passion. And our next speaker is Tahara, who will speak to us about prayer. Shalom, Tahara.
Shalom, everyone. Prayer. Pray for His will to be done. To pray is to talk to God. Our prayers are not for our personal desires and wants. Our prayers are to become aware of His will. In that way, the talking to God is really the acceptance of Him in our daily lives, and understand that we are here to do His will. So we pray, accept, and meditate, listen to His essence within each of us, that which guides us to do His will. Always remember the Father, the Son, and the Mother in your prayers by invoking them. The Son is used in the middle between the Father and the Holy Ghost to show His mediating position. He manifests the Father and the Mother, the Holy Ghost, as the Messiah in the manifested world. Each of them are necessary in creation. However, they are not separated as three, but are one. That is why there is only one God, who is the Father, Logic, Mother, Grace, and the Father, Mother, God, is manifested as the Messiah or the Prophet from God. Prayer is found in all religions, whether one is a devout Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, etc. The one thing that is a common denominator is the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Fine. In Judaism, there is the Shema from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. In Hinduism, there is the Gayatri mantra from the Vedas. In Islam, there is the Fatiha from the opening words of the Quran. In Christianity, there is the Lord's Prayer from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. In Buddhism, there is the Refuge Prayer, and on and on. So we all pray to the same God through different methods and words. However, the end result is devotion and praise to the highest, the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal fine. Prayer and chanting with utmost devotion is the cleansing process of the soul. To pray is to talk to God. To meditate is to listen to Him. And prayer is a wonderful practice to teach our children. Prayer is like a shower for the soul. When we teach our children to pray, they become more aware of their true self. They can learn the value of their true self in prayer. Teach them to pray for guidance so that they might become an instrument for His will. Lead by example. Chant the mantra. Say the reminder. Create a daily routine for your children to pray. When you teach the children to pray, to become an instrument for His will, other things will be given to them. They will learn to be surrendered and submitted to the will of God. And the second slide, there's a sample of prayer from Tho in Essays 3. Praise be to Thee, O hidden and manifested One. Praise be to Thy glory, to Thy might, to Thy power, and Thy great skill. All things belong to God. O Lord, to Thee all greatness, power, beauty, and perfection belongs. Thou art all. Let us always give credit to Him. Whenever anyone praises us for anything, we surely know that we are not the doer. If it is good, it is God. If it is not good, then it is our ego. Give us, O Lord, a steadfast heart, which no unworthy affection may drag downwards. Give us an unconquered will, which no tribulation can wear out. Give us an upright mind, which no unworthy purpose may tempt aside. Unto Thee we surrender. Amen. Let us not be drawn into the worldly maya, where we forget and are forgetful of our purpose and reason for being here. And keep us strong in God's ways, and may we be surrendered to only Him. Although God has name, we cannot invoke Him by His name. We should always remember that the sacred name, the Word, cannot be pronounced or uttered in a manifested words. However, if we heard His name, the Word, in our deep meditation, that is the best prayer one can have. Indeed, you are an instrument in His hands. Shalom. And now we'll have a sadhana for the study of spiritual scriptures. All thanks to the Father.
The study of spiritual scriptures, which is quite an important part. It is a necessary part of spiritual progress. It is one of the 33 virtues and 15 commandments. Meditation alone is not enough. We need to know God's laws and His hand in history, and how He has been guiding humanity. How blessed we are to have so many scriptures to choose from. The greatest of the scriptures is Tho. Holy scriptures can now be understood with having the greatest sign in mind, which means all seven seals. They are related and are sent as guidance to humanity, have been a part of the gradually unfolding plan of God, which is completed with the revelation of the seventh seal. 5 days a week, live readings on Pal Talk from the latest website version of Tho is done as a service followed by 30 minutes of meditation. Meditation after the reading is for contemplation on the section read, while audio options are also available on the website. So this is our daily study of spiritual scriptures done each day except Sabbaths, which is really a wonderful practice in the mission. So join us on Pal Talk for that. Next, we have yoga postures. So thank you. Thanks, God. Shalom.
Yoga postures, asanas. As the muscles become stronger by exercise, the ethereal body becomes purified and stronger by yoga postures, asanas. That is why we can call asanas innercise, in contrast to exercise, which affects the external. These postures affect the glands, which control the energy centers in the body, chakras, and bring a balance between the physical body, spirit, ethereal body, and soul, self. It is also recommended to practice asanas, especially in the beginning of the spiritual journey, and so strengthen the spirit and become familiar with the body and how it functions. However, a person should not become obsessed with this kind of practice and use it only for physical fitness. Unless such a person is a professional teacher of asanas, the spiritual effect of this practice should be kept in mind more than the physical. Like any practice or habit, it should not become a person's master. Eventually, a person will become so familiar with the body that he realizes many other things affect it. By avoiding ones which bring negative forces and accumulating more positive forces, the need of doing asanas can be eliminated or brought to a minimum and only used as an occasional tool to tune the body, spirit, and mind together. It is not only practices that make a man free, but knowledge of the laws of the Lord and His grace. These practices make a person become more sensitive to understand His laws and become purer to feel His grace, so he might eventually find the way, eternal divine path, receive the Holy Ghost, and by the trial of the Holy Ghost, His grace, reach the goal. All thanks to God for these valuable information in Tho. Asanas affect every aspect of the human physique. They balance the glandular secretions, relax and tone up the muscles and the nervous system, stimulate circulation, stretch stiff ligaments and tendons, limber joints, massage internal organs, and calm and concentrate the mind. The best time for asanas is in the morning before breakfast and in the evening before dinner. After meals, depending on the amount of food consumed, wait 2 to 4 hours for digestion to occur before practicing yoga. At the same time, it is not recommended to eat or drink half an hour after practicing. After the practice of asanas, the body sets up a new equilibrium, new muscle tone, new flow of blood and energy. Eating too soon after asanas changes the blood flow from the muscles and glands to digestive tract, thus inhibiting the full benefit of the asanas. So for more information on yoga asanas, you can read or listen to a full presentation about innercise at www.maitreya.org/FOT 2010 Lectures Enersize-UNIS-HTM. And we also have introductory videos for men and women for those who would like to practice basic asanas at the same maitreya.org videos, classes, yoga, yoga index, HTM. And all thanks to God.
I'm going to go ahead and speak on the rosary right now. It's going to be very short and sweet. The rosary gives the eternal divine path in a graceful and condensed form. It goes over it in several different ways as you go through the rosary. It's a helpful tool to use on the Sabbath and other times, and I believe most of you had a chance to use it during the feast, so got to enjoy those effects and the use of the rosary. The rosary calms and concentrates the mind, so maybe you're not able to do a meditation and you need something else, and you can do the rosary to help focus the mind as a different spiritual practice. The rosary is easy to carry, it can be worn, and it's fun to make. And I can attest to all three of those. We made them at one feast. It was a lot of fun making them together. It's beautiful to wear, and it's easy to carry along with you. The mission has them in a pouch, or you can just put it right into your purse or your pocket. So the next person to speak is going to be Jessica. So I'll release the mic to Jessica to speak on service at this time.
Shalom. Service. Service is of three kinds: from ignorance, from passion, and from knowledge. Service is from ignorance when it is done for the wrong person. He does not need that service at the wrong time and or at the wrong place. Service is from passion when it is done in the spirit of gaining something in return. In fact, such an act is not a service, but is a business. Service is from knowledge when it is done for the right person, at the right time and at the right place without expectation. However, service done to do God's will is always from knowledge. Service goes hand in hand with other spiritual practices. When you do something for God, you are not doing it for Him, you are doing it for yourself. It is a blessing bestowed on you to focus on Him instead of this world. You surely are blessed. The more man concentrates on God, the more God concentrates on him, her. It's part of the 15 commandments. 13. Satsang, service, and meditation. To attain true satsang, when people talk only about God, the universe, and His will, to practice penance in the service of others as being done for the Lord, in creating communities of light, and to sincerely meditate and or do the reminder at least twice a day. Find the many talents God has given you. Know and use these talents to benefit the mission. When you benefit the mission, you benefit humanity and yourself. Service allows you to be humble, to give physical, mental, or spiritual help to others with no expectation for any return, or to serve others in the spirit of serving God. It's also one of the 33 virtues. Performance of sacrifice, selfless service, not being self-centered, to become humble. Renunciation, to offer the result of your actions to the Lord and ideate that your body is a tool for Him to perform divine actions. And setting an example by individual conduct before asking anyone to do the same. Service for the mission is expected from all the members of the mission. If you have realized the wonders of Maitreya's teachings and the plan, get on with the work. The rest will be added to you. As it has been said in the Bible, the workman is worthy of his meat, Matthew 10:10. Many are those who talk much, have many leaves, but manifest no fruits. They are not the chosen ones. There are a few who might not talk much, but bear great fruit. Those are the chosen ones. You know them by their fruit. Help in the creation of the communities of light. This could apply differently to each person according to their capacity, situation, community, etc. Everyone is required to render selfless service. volunteer work. How much selfless service, that is up to the individual. The more one loves God and the mission, the more he or she wants to help selflessly. And next is an Nandama on satsangs.
Shalom again, everybody. And the next topic, as Jessica said, is satsang. Satsang means good company. Satsang, a company of people who gather together to talk about God and truth. Good company. Satsang is a gathering where the topic is God. In the glossary, three kinds of gatherings are explained. The third kind of gathering is the one in which people gather together to talk about God, His creation, and truth. This kind of gathering is the most desirable. Satsangs are given by highly spiritual beings. Satsang should be given by spiritually advanced people and with no previous preparation. Satsang is food for the soul. Satsang in general is whatever helps us to know the self, chit, God, chit, which is truth, sat. Faith comes with hearing, satsang. One of the most important techniques used in spiritual progress is satsang. Faith comes by hearing the words of God. Also, scriptures are written from the revelations by God to those who are in tune with Him. They are satsangs which cleanse the soul. We should mention the four pillars of spiritual progress, of which satsang is a part. And the four pillars of spiritual progress are satsang, service, meditation, and prayer. I'd like to close this section on satsang by mentioning that we have a very useful tool in YouTube where many of Maitreya satsangs are, and the most recent lectures by disciples are available to watch on videos. And next, Sarah will talk to us about Longodas for Men.
Langoda is an ancient underwear worn by yogis and masters, etc. Langoda helps to control and direct sexual energies to higher chakras, and there are many different kinds of langodas, and the missions is a simple and effective langoda and an original design. There is a link on the last word of the slide that shows how to tie a langoda and also shows how one can order a handmade 100% white cotton langoda from the mission. We've been amazed at how many people have ordered them already, including many complete newcomers to the mission. And this includes someone from Germany, Canada, Australia. It's really been very interesting to see these new orders. Thanks to Jessica for helping out with sewing the langodas. And so far the supply has met the demand, and there are many happy, we hope, wearers of Mission Maine langodas out there. And of course, when we do mail out a langoda, we include mission literature. Besides offering the fully sewn langodas, we also are offering the pattern and directions of how they are sewn if someone wanted to sew them themselves. And also, I understand that for males, langodas can be very physically supportive and beneficial to wear while doing yoga, exercise, and exercising. I will defer any questions or discussion about the use of langodas to the Divine Brothers group in Facebook. So, thanks God, and next sadhana will talk about Tantava and Tantavi.
Tantava and Tantavi presentation, this is also a short one, and I wish I could dance this one for you, but like I sang the song, but I guess you're just going to have to see it on the link, presentation of it at about 51st minute on YouTube. Our brother Noor has done a great job showing both versions for males and females. So, Tantava is for men and Tantavi is for women. Tantava was invented and danced by Shiva. It is a dance between birth and death. Between these two points, it shows that life is a struggle to overcome obstacles. We dance by putting obstacles, impurities, problems, etc., under our feet and dance on them so they are destroyed. We live as pure a life as possible. Tantavi is actually an adaptation of Tantava for women. This is an invigorating dance, and it is recommended for males as it actually produces a lot of testosterone. So, in Maitreya.org page, you can find a little explanation on in the supplements on Tantava. So next we're going to go to holy days and feasts of the Lord, and Radha will take over. Salam.
Salam everyone. To celebrate the seven feasts and holy days of the Lord, like Sabbath on Saturdays, is another way to serve God and to make our spiritual journey progress. The feasts of the Lord are commanded in chapter 23 of Leviticus in the Bible. We can read in SS 1, tablet 14 from Tod, that it is because of the false ego of the human that man separates himself as a self-centered entity away from the rest. That is why God always had demanded from man to exalt, adore, and worship him instead of self. The feasts, festivals, and holy days also should be for him, so that man's thoughts might be directed toward its goal, which is to dissolve the self into the universal self and realize he is a part of the all. These feasts are the only acceptable feasts of God to be kept forever. It's time for unity. If we really believe that humanity wants to be united and to become one planet, one people, and bring oneness to the whole of humanity, then we cannot go on and have many holidays all over the earth. If we want to accept every nation and every religion and their holidays, then we are going to have 365 days off. Nothing will get done. Following the same feasts and holidays all over the earth and the universe will become a tradition, which is the will of God. By keeping these days holy as the only holy days for everyone, we can unify humanity at a much faster rate. The best way to do this is to follow the calendar of God. The mission of Maitreya calendar contains both a solar and a lunar calendar. The lunar calendar is for calculating the feasts and holy days which the Lord had commanded for humans to observe forever and ever. And the solar calendar is mostly used for business and worldly activities. For more details, you can go to the website to Explanation of the Calendar of God. We can easily find the feasts and holy days in the calendar of God. They will be described in brief. The first one, we can say, is Sabbath. This topic was covered earlier by Anandama. The other feasts and holy days are, first feast, the Lord's Passover. This night is for putting away the sins and coming out of the lower nature, Egypt, which is symbolized by putting the yeast out of the house and eating unleavened bread. The second feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is following the Passover with no servile work. For 7 days we have to practice sacrifice with knowledge when it is needed and is for the good and progress of others. The third feast, a holy convocation, at the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread with no servile work. The fourth feast, Feast of Revelation, yearly Sabbath. This day is for the offering of the first fruits, as explained in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10, which no longer is necessary. Christ was the first fruit. The fifth feast, Feast of Trumpets, Sabbath, a memorial of flowing of trumpets, a holy convocation with no servile work. The trumpet is an instrument with a tremendous sound, and it If blown strongly, it can awaken people. So it is a symbol of truth, which comes by the seven angels, an announcement of the coming of God on earth. The sixth feast, Day of Atonement, a holy convocation with no work at all. We celebrate this Sabbath by atonement to the Lord, to repent and purify ourselves to be worthy of standing in His presence during the period of the Feast of Tabernacles when He is honored in force. And the seventh feast, Feast of Tabernacles, 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, and for 7 days there will be a feast. On the first day there is a holy convocation, and after 7 days of feasting, a Sabbath, on the eighth day, which is a solemn assembly. A tabernacle is a tent, a house, a place that God wants for Himself. He wants to have a house or to be invited to this place, so humanity can refer to Him and glorify Him for these 7 days. They can gather together, meditate together, sing together, praise the Lord together, and enjoy, have a feast. In conclusion, there are 2 weeks that God chose as His holy weeks. One is the week following Passover, week of unleavened bread, in the spring, and the other one is the week of the Feast of Tabernacles. So we can have this kind of gathering twice a year. The feasts or holy days are usually quiet and sober. The Feast of Tabernacles, however, is a joyous celebration of the energy of God on earth at its greatest. The Messiah is here. Listen to Him and know His message. No one goes to the Father except through the Christ, and it is the Christ, as the seventh angel, Maitreya, God is with Him, who reveals everything to humanity. This is the salvation for humanity. And there is a note at the end. It should be clearly understood that the rituals in religions are not important, but the meaning behind them is the important part. The next spiritual practice is about tithes and presented by Anandama. Shalom, everyone.
Tithes. God commands 10% of your gross income to be given to His chosen cause, the mission. Although all things belong to God, God only asks for 10% of all the wealth on earth and the universe. He generously wants humans to use the rest, 90%, to reach pure consciousness. It is God who demands that we tithe. His prophets just remind us of what God has demanded. Where does God command this? Read Malachi 3, verses 7 to 10. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. By paying tithes, you purify your income, become disciplined to budget your life around 90% of your income. The tithe, 10% given to the system, are a purifier of one's wealth. They are given as a thanksgiving for His kingdom and for the tranquility, justice, etc., which it brings. Next, Thanksgiving is the first law. We find that in Tho, in Mount Zion and Zion, tablet 14, verse 18. The whole idea is to create a culture in which people learn to live on 90% of their gross income without borrowing. It is a sign of commitment and dedication to God. It is to realize that to contribute their financial duty of 10% is a sign of commitment. It enables the mission to accomplish its task on earth. Tithes are what made the Hebrews a great nation. Tithes are the reason Mormons created a worldwide outreach. Tithes are the command by God to see His kingdom to manifest on earth. So those who want to follow God's will accommodate His revelation and follow as obedience to His commandments and pay their tithes and more. Since the mission is the last revelation from God and is the revealer of the mystery of God and the implementer of God's will and kingdom, it is the only religion organization that everyone should be given their tithes to. Giving money and or tithes or anything to any other organization is disobedience to God and His revelation, words, and will. See supplements number 4 on tithing in Tho. Tithing is the way God has instructed His people to finance the work of His prophets. Maitreya, God is with him, the prophet of God, Messiah, Christ, Kalki Avatar, etc., is now on earth. He has fulfilled the prophecies that God gave, whereby we should recognize that He is the one expected by all religions to come with the plan of God for humanity. Those who pay their tithes have the right to ask for a report of financial activities in the mission. A well-managed accounting system will be kept to provide answers as to how these funds were spent. These records will be available to the supporters and governmental agencies for inspection. They will also help to analyze how the finances are used and further the efficiency of the system. We find this in the plan, map, part 3, financing the systems. Tithes are different than service or donations. There is a difference between tithes and rendering selfless service, volunteer works for the mission. Some people think when they render a service that can be counted as tithes or a part of it. Tithes are different than service. Although both help in spiritual progress, they should not be mixed. Tithes is the commandment from God and is specific, 10% of the gross income. Everyone should strive to increase their income so they can give greater tithes. The mission needs this if it ever wants to become a powerful and effective religion on earth. Everyone is also required to render selfless service, volunteer work. How much selfless service? That is up to the individual. The more one loves God and the mission, the more she, he wants to help selflessly. And now Sarah will conclude this lecture, and I'll turn the mic over to her.
There you have it. We just covered 17 spiritual practices in the Mission of Maitreya for us to practice, enjoy, and progress with.
And of course, no one is expected to do all of them. It is recommended to try them all at least once, again, to understand different cultures and their practices and to reap their benefits. For example, after a while, if you've practiced chanting and dancing and are comfortable with it, if you are in a situation where the people are chanting, you feel totally at ease with it. If we make anything we do godly, that is a spiritual practice. For example, the clothes we wear, or keeping aloof from talkativeness, or exercise, eating, sleeping, walking, talking, etc. Even saying all thanks to God, or pausing before any action, closing the eyes, ideating that God is doing the action through you, are spiritual practices. Or when someone thanks you, you say, thanks God, meaning I don't want the praise, all praise goes to God. But it needs to be mentioned that three of these practices are required commandments given by God. These are tithing and the laws of Sabbath and the rest of the holy days of God. As these practices become a part of your everyday life, you will understand more the benefits and reasons for what you are doing. And also you will see that many of the practices have multiple benefits. For example, doing the reminder. You are performing a prayer and also reaping some yoga and stretching benefits. Or when you take a half bath, you are cleansing your body and also cooling your body. Overall, you may enjoy more peace, health, and happiness, and are able to manifest God's plan in a more effective way. So it's recommended to try all these practices, but for the maximum benefit, you have to do them and do them constantly, every day, for a long period of time to see the effect. We can again repeat. It is just like an athlete who doesn't exercise for a couple of days or a couple of weeks and he's out of shape. It's the same thing. If you don't do these exercises for a long time, you will be out of shape. However, we should remember that the goal of spiritual practices and progress should not be to gain cities or spiritual powers, because they can result in regression or become a trap in the path. If a city is gained in the process, it should be used to help others in the path with the ideation that it is not ours, but we are only channels of God's submission. And obviously, the goal of spiritual practices is not to judge others about what they are doing or what they are not doing. So the idea is to completely wrap yourself in God. And we can go to the next slide, but always remembering, greater than meditation is to share God's satsang with someone. Greater than prayer is to fulfill someone else's need. And greater than fasting is to feed someone who is starving. Again, we should mention that most of these practices can be found in Essays 3 and Tho, and there are videos for many of them. This PowerPoint presentation will be up on the website, and again, repeating, there are links in the presentation that hopefully will be helpful. Let's go to the next slide. Any spiritual practice that awakens your spiritual forces, worships God, not man, and is not against his commandments is fine. However, practices which work to create harm for others are not spiritual practices. The essence of the teachings of Maitreya is the eternal divine path, which leads a person to become divine. So he who follows this path and has become it does not need to follow any rituals or laws, but the recommendations and laws given are helpful for a person to follow the divine path. So it is a two-way consideration. Those who follow these recommendations or any other practices helpful to them will find it easier to follow the eternal divine path, and he who is following the path and has become it will easily follow these recommendations, understand their depth, and greatly benefit from them. However, no rituals, meditation, exercises, etc. are valid if they do not lead a person to follow the eternal divine path. We can go to the next slide. And then there is the grace. Without grace, following laws or practices become very legalistic. Grace without laws is chaos. And grace is the fastest way to go to God.